One, two, three, fair game!
Falling in love is such an easy thing to do. Let's get into it.
Yeah.
Please get into it.
Yeah.
Let's stop talking.
Yeah.
Let's get to it. Let's fall in love.
Should we talk about this fucking show, or do you have more to say?
No, I don't have more to say. I do have a complaint right off the bat.
I would love to hear
okay,
it.
Okay, well, first off, welcome to Secret Life of Two Gay American Teenagers. My name's Aaron.
My name's Jesse.
Today we're going to be covering Season 4, Episode 10, entitled 411.
What's the 411 on that title, do you suppose?
I don't know, but here's my complaint. They really couldn't save this for the 11th episode of the fourth season.
That is so true. It didn't even cross my mind. They couldn't have just cut this episode altogether. I'll say right off the bat, I thought Brenda Hampton finally giving us what we've been asking for, which is a 14-year-old sex predator. I know I've been begging for this for months. And I think it's really important that she read the room of America, saw where we were at culturally, and said, we need to do a revenge porn storyline with a 14-year-old who looks like he's 27.
Well, here's the thing, though. If he looks 27 next to Ricky, he looks fucking young.
That is true.
Like, when him and Ricky are having a conversation, it looks like a 40-year-old dad is conversing with his teen.
When he and Ricky are next to each other, he looks very young. When he and anyone else are together, he looks very old, I think.
Okay. So this episode is entitled 411. It was written by Brenda Hampton herself, directed by Anson Williams, aired to 2.42 million viewers on August 15th, 2011.
Holy shit, that's one day before my birthday, and what a present it was.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we start this episode with a phone call between Amy and Ricky. It has been a week since it all went down. And
apparently Amy has not stopped crying since then.
Yeah, Amy.
But not with tears.
Is having a hard time. And
she is crying with just her throat.
They have a fight on the phone about trusting Ricky. Yes.
Speaking of trust, can I just say you kind of broke my trust when we didn't do biblical context, but we can skip it for the week if you so choose.
Oh my god, wait, no, I have a really good biblical context. Wow.
I have a horrible one, so I don't know why I brought it up, but I do have one prepared, and it hurt me to think that I would, you know, be caught with my pants up, so to speak.
Yeah, alright, let's do biblical context. I can't believe I forgot that.
I can. Because you're a very busy person, you've had a lot going on. It's natural that you forget some things, and that's perfectly fine, and it's beautiful even. You're still a lovely person, and we all love you.
Thank you.
Okay, now did you want to, like, maybe compliment me or something? Like, you don't have to, but, like, you know, if you wanted to reciprocate, you know?
Well, you were just reassuring me because I made a mistake.
I made a mistake, too, though.
What was your mistake?
I said, let's do Secret Life of the American Teenager for a podcast.
Yeah, and you know what? I love you anyway.
Thanks. That's all I need to hear. I just need reassurance of that every episode, because every episode I'm like, well, this is the one where Aaron's finally like, you know what? I was wrong. I'm calling it. Jesse sucks.
No. Okay. You can go first with your biblical context.
Okay. Speaking of canceling, TLC cancels Kate Plus 8. That's all I have to say.
Wow.
Kate Gosselin, forever in our hearts. Whatever, is that her name?
Yeah.
What happened to those eight?
I don't know.
Slash Kate. How are they doing these days? Where's the Where Are They Now special?
Well, her husband did move to a town close to the one that I grew up in.
Oh, damn. You seeing John around?
Or he, like, vacationed there because we saw him a couple times at, like, the local ice cream place.
Let's objectify these people. Who's hotter, John or Kate?
Pass.
Okay. I don't know what these people look like.
I was an avid watcher of John and Kate Plus Eight, unfortunately.
Okay, let's rephrase the question. If they locked eyes with you across the bar and said, hey, we're really digging your vibe, would you? If they said, our eight children are all sleeping at home, but we've got the master to ourselves, would you?
I would not.
I think I would.
That's great.
The only threesome I'm interested in is an MLM. I'm the top level.
Okay, so I really do not have any more context on this because it is completely behind a paywall. But from the Wall Street Journal on August 15th, 2011,
mm-hmm.
in New York at 12:06 a.m. in the wee hours of the morning, Pastor okay. is found dead in hotel room.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
And I really don't have any more for you, but I'm thinking it might be Toby and Ashley having escalated from burning the Bible last episode.
Yes.
Oh my god, because it was the pastor of a Florida megachurch.
Oh my god, they're on a cross-country sexcapade that involves burning Bibles and killing pastors. That's how they get off. And it's escalating, it's sexcalating, if you will.
Yeah. Anyway.
Wow.
So... that's it.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
What denomination was the pastor, would you say? If you had to guess.
Mega church.
So non-denominational.
Yeah, probably.
Or Baptist.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Mm.
Okay, back to what the episode we've already started. Amy and Ricky are on this phone call. He's like, I'll talk to you at school. And she's like, I'm so upset. I don't think I could go to school. Someone is at Ricky's door. He's like, gotta go. She says, is it Adrian? He opens the door and he says, it's not Adrian. Hangs up the phone.
And who is it? But
Justin Bieber.
I was thinking it was the devil twink that was terrorizing.
There's this, like, bad boy. Him and Ricky know each other. This guy is in trouble and he needs help. This is where I note that Ricky looks like he is doing the Big Brother, Big Sister program with this teenager.
And he kind of is in a way.
Right. That's true. We find out this kid is... in trouble because he did indeed send a nude to his entire phone list of a girl who broke up with him, which is literally
at 14
revenge porn.
Literally revenge porn, literally child pornography.
Yeah.
Literally not in high school yet.
Yeah. Ricky says it's...
I will say, at what age did you see your first nude? Not sent to you, but one shown to you, even.
Can I be vulnerable with you?
No.
Okay.
I'd love it if you would, though.
Never.
God, I want your life. No one's ever shown you a nude of someone else?
No.
You want to see one?
No.
It won't be revenge porn, because I'll just send you one of mine.
No.
Just kidding. I don't take nudes. I'm a Christian. I saw my first dick pic in 7th grade, shown to me by my dear friend. Prepubescent child should not have been sending dick pics. It wasn't impressive, I hate to say. In the words of that British PSA, his willy was rubbish.
But, yeah. Yep, never.
Good for you.
Thank you. So.
It's nice to know that I'll see you in heaven.
Yeah. We find out this kid's name is Ethan. He wants Ricky to help him out. He wants to stay with Ricky. And Ricky says, no, I have a son and a girlfriend. They live with me. And Ethan's like, really? And then he's like, go with me to turn myself in. That's all I'm asking. And Ricky's like, all right. Sit here. I'm going to call someone. Do you need breakfast? Did you eat breakfast? And Ethan says, not most of my life.
That, I could also say that. Is that an indictment of my shitty childhood, do you think?
No. But it is.
If he's. Is he trying to garner sympathy?
Do we think? I think so.
Oh, I didn't have Cheerios most days.
So we go to the jerk.
I've decided to take the hard stance that I'm mocking poverty this episode.
That's good for you.
Yeah.
We go to the Jurgens' house. Nora's having a conversation with Margaret. And Margaret is like, smiling. And Nora's like, what the fuck is going on here? Are you dying? That's me when any of my cats show me too much affection. I'm like, are you... Do you have cancer? Are you gonna die?
That's how I felt when Ines.
Yeah?
Ines lay left me alone, Udeite. And I thought he was Oinge, Ute, Ide.
Yeah.
But I think he was overwhelmed. He had a very stimulating weekend. Mm.
So, she's happy that she doesn't have to deal with anyone else's issues right now.
Oh, foreshadowing.
Yeah. Ricky calls Margaret. And Nora is like, don't pick up. He's being mean to Amy. Margaret picks up. She finds out Ethan is in trouble. Everyone is looking for him. She says to Ricky not to get caught up. Nora steals the phone from Margaret and tells Ricky to get over here and talk to Amy. And then Margaret's like, what's going on there? And Nora's like, they broke up. And it's like, what?
Did they?
In what?
Never really made clear.
In what world did they break up? So.
I don't know. The world that only Nora and Adrian seem to inhabit. It's a parallel universe.
Yeah. Theme is where we go next. Cool. Do you have an alternative one?
It's that song that's like 911, Shoddy Fire Burning on the Dance Floor. Mm-hmm. But instead it's 411, Somebody call 411, Ethan started sharing revenge porn. Whoa! And it really goes off.
Yeah. Honestly, I'm gonna go with my. I feel like I already did my girlfriend's ex-boyfriend.
You for sure.
Yeah, by Reliant K. Damn. Let me look.
It concerns me how much Reliant K you try to put as an alternative theme.
Listen, I did sing High of 75 to Chloe today.
Was there a High of 75?
No. But the weather has been so bipolar, and consequently so have I. but now I'm sunny.
Oh my God.
With a high of 75.
Is that a lyric? Because I was about to really get on you for being problematic.
Yeah, it is a lyric.
Ugh, I love Reliant K, my mental illness to denying kings.
I'm gonna do I Know a Place by Muna.
Is the place Margaret's house?
The places all these couples should break up.
I don't know. I think this show is just kind of a bastion of healthy relationships. Yeah.
It concerns me that you think that.
I've never been in or seen a healthy relationship.
So, we come back from the theme. We go to the condo. Adrian and Ben are talking. Ben reveals that even though it's not in the prenup, Adrian can live in the condo rent-free, utilities included, until she graduates college.
Hell yeah, girly.
I'm trying to trap me one of those.
Yeah, get me a fucking sausage king. I'll do whatever I need to do to get... Like, holy shit. The Boykoviches are obsessed with letting people stay rent-free on their properties. Yeah. Like, I don't like the Boykoviches, let me tell you. But there might be one good landlord, and it might be Leo Boykovich. Honestly. I hate saying that. I really do.
Yeah. I mean, really.
Socialist king.
At that point, is he a landlord?
Well, you see, the thing about landlords is they have the very important job of providing people who couldn't otherwise get homes with homes.
Mm. Right.
Another word for... I keep on remembering last summer I was on a fishing trip with my dad, my cousin's, like, 14-year-old son and another teenager, and we were fishing with leeches, and I kept on repeating, like, hey, you know another name for leeches? And they were like, what? I'm like, landlords. I just kept on saying it over and over, and each time they were like, okay. That is how we begin, folks. You gotta get up young.
Yep, you gotta. But... okay, she can keep the engagement ring.
Why would you want to? Whatever.
Yeah. Then she says that they can do some friends with benefits type situation now that they're friends.
This is where I knew this episode was going to be no good.
Yeah. She said, I loved you. And he says, and I loved you.
Did they, though?
That's a great question. They decide to do it now. And he's like, wait. I'm not sure. And he goes, she says, one for the road, question mark. He says, I can't. We shouldn't. Okay, why not?
I hate. This is proving to me that virginity is a construct because Ben will always be a virgin.
Then we go to Amy's room.
Wait, I just realized, is this the only thing we see of Ben this episode?
Yeah.
That is a testament to how bad this episode is, that I only have to look at Ben's face for 2 minutes, and it's still maybe the worst episode of the series to me.
Truly. We go to Amy's room. She's talking to George. She doesn't want to go to school, and George is like, no, you have to go to school. Like, let her stay home.
Yeah, like, she went to school all this last week. She's been keeping it strong, but, like, it's just painful to go there. Ricky refuses to talk to her. What's the point of going? She's a mess. Just let her stay.
Also, like, she works really hard. She should be allowed to have some mental health days.
Yeah, I take mental health days. I take 2 a week. they're my scheduled days off.
Right. Yeah.
Because my job does own my ass. Mm.
Hot. So, George is on Amy's side. He's like, you did the right thing. And everyone does that. And she's like, do you do that? We find out that George doesn't listen to Amy's voice messages because he doesn't know the password. I personally have never needed a password to get into my voicemails. Why are these children setting up passwords?
Because they all have secrets.
Truly.
They got a secret. Can you keep it?
Wow, for someone who's never watched...
Two can get a secret if the other one is dead.
Wow, someone who's never watched Pretty Little Liars, you know their theme song pretty well.
Oh, I don't know that from that. I know that from the seventh episode of Gossip Girl.
Fair.
Yeah, I didn't actually know that that was Pretty Little Liars' theme. I'm pretty fucked up of you to assume that.
Wow.
Please don't slander me like that.
I mean, you did try to gaslight me into believing that you watched the entire series a few weeks ago, so...
I don't think that happened. I think you're kind of just making shit up, honestly. But, like, hey, if that makes you feel better, go for it.
All right. So... We find out that George has read all of her texts and emails.
Where do we fall on this? This is a discussion that comes up several times in this episode, and I just want to make sure we're on the same page. What do we think about looking at... I think we're on the same page about looking at children's text messages. Like, I think that's a little fucked up and an invasion of privacy. What do we think about partners' text messages and, like, looking through their phones?
Honestly, it's not something that I have... I personally have done it.
Okay.
But only after, you know, turning on my partner's iPad after it had died, and then because it was syncing with her iPhone, seeing all the iMessage alerts come up the top that revealed to me that she was cheating on me.
No, that's a valid reason to look. I will say that.
And then being like, what is this about? But other than that, I have not engaged in that. And also, I don't have anything on my phone, but I don't particularly love people going through it.
I don't either, because there's some people I don't need to see some things.
Yeah.
I've got screenshots of every single boy I've ever matched with or had a fleeting infatuation with.
Yeah.
And I don't need people seeing that.
Yeah.
I personally probably will go through my partner's phone frequently when I get a partner. And I'm not, I think it's really unhealthy behavior. I do not stand by it. I will be doing that shit all the time.
Yeah, I don't really, I think it's not, I mean, I think you have to do what works for you. Like, I think it's totally okay to have boundaries around not looking at each other's phones and actually not doing it.
Yes.
And
I also think it's totally okay to break those boundaries if you really want to.
That's where we disagree. But I think also, if you're one of those couples who, like, is like, yeah, we both just look at each other's phones whenever we want.
See, that I feel like is different, because, like, I know couples that will just, like, use each other's phones, like, whichever one's closer, they just use.
Yeah.
You know? Me and my high school best friend were like that, which, again, kind of more support for, the gayness of it all.
Yeah.
I remember him getting very angry at me when I changed the password.
Wow. Yeah. So.
Yeah, he wouldn't let me suck his dick for, like, 2 weeks.
Is that a real thing?
That's a joke.
Okay. I was like...
Can you imagine if I've been like, yeah, I think he might have had some feelings for me in a gay way. And I'm like, yeah, I was sucking his dick like 3 times a week, but like in a really straight way, you know? Like, just kind of a bros at school thing.
I was gonna say, I'm not really... You've left that detail out in the past. Yeah, so I'm like, I mean, personally, I'm kind of against it, but I will admit that I have done it with probable cause.
I think there are situations where it's very acceptable. I personally think it's not really a healthy thing to be doing all the time. And again, I say that knowing full well the kind of person I am.
Yeah.
I've never had a real relationship, so I don't know how I'd react to many stimuluses.
Yeah, I... I think also, if you are feeling suspicious, that's something to maybe, instead of doing it behind their back, which adds like another layer to it, like maybe approach doing it together and be like, these are some feelings that I'm having. Would it be okay?
Maybe say, I want to sing you a special little song, and then bust into a gorgeous karaoke rendition of Rihanna's Unfaithful. And just kind of see the reaction from there. If they get really nervous, then you know, hey, something's up. If they're like, holy shit, babe, that was beautiful, then you know they're fine.
Yeah. Followed up with Irreplaceable by Beyonce.
Beyonce. Have you listened to Renaissance yet?
Can I be vulnerable with you again?
Yes. You don't like Beyonce.
It's not that I don't like her. I don't like new music in general because it's unfamiliar to me. And Maggie Rogers' new album came out the same day.
I did not know that.
And that album did take priority for me. And also, I don't think I've ever listened to a single Beyonce album start to finish.
I've heard this one's really horny, and that makes me excited.
Yeah. But I did use all my new music energy on Maggie Rogers' new album, so.
Oh, I've got a reason to wake up.
Yeah, I got the vinyl, too.
Oh, that's so fun.
It's green. Okay, let's move on. So.
Yes.
George says basically not to put anything in your on your phone that you don't want people to find, which is, I would argue, a good point. He says that he has found out the hard way that texts and emails are evidence in a court of law. He does bring up the point that Ricky has probably looked through Amy's phone. And he's going to ask Ricky himself.
Hey.
Then we go to Ricky's apartment. We find out that Ethan is the ripe age of 14. The girl that he sent the picture around of was 16. We also find out that Ethan shared Margaret and Shaker's home with Ricky and was kicked out for stealing a set of knives, which was a set of
scalpels,
antique scalpels, and selling them so he could buy a pair of shoes. Amy comes in.
Which, I will say, that might be on Margaret and Shaker. Buy your kids shoes. I'm assuming this is some Oliver Twist shit, where they just haven't been clothing these children.
I don't agree with that. whenever we talk about stealing a pair of shoes, I just start to think of the movie / the book Holes. You ever see that?
Yeah, where Stanley Yelnats accidentally steals some shoes and gets sent to a detention camp where all they're doing is digging holes, but actually they're looking for the buried treasure of Kissin' Kate Barlow, mm-hmm. played by Charlize Theron.
I do.
And you'll never find. I remember that from the commercial. I thought that was the hottest thing anyone had ever done. It's just like her superimposed against the blue sky. Yeah. Just like you can see the clouds through her, and she's just saying, and you'll never find.
Yeah.
That got me horny as a child.
I'm learning so much about you this episode.
I had a 2-inch stiffy. anyway. And you'll never find it.
Anyway, okay, so...
Speaking of child pornography, back to Ethan.
Amy comes in to the apartment, and Ethan says, whoa, she's hot. Okay.
We go to the high school. Adrian and Grace meet in the hallway. They start talking about how everything that's happened is water under the bridge. We do find out that Adrian did call Daniel because he's listed. Jeez.
What fucking college kid is in the yellow pages or whatever the fuck? Yeah. Like, okay, sure.
They fight about what Grace also, did.
Yeah.
And
Grace, 100% in the right.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Grace does say that she thinks it's horrible that Adrian is going after Ricky because Ricky has a son. And Adrian's like, well, they broke up. Ricky told me himself. Amy's not at the apartment. You know when you say someone's not at the apartment, that does mean that you did break up.
Yeah, that's actually, I've been using that as euphemisms for years. Yeah,
just like worked at the butcher shop.
Yeah.
Which Nora's no longer
sometimes in the same conversation.
Working at the butcher what? Shop, so.
Actually, she is now, I guess.
Well, no. Not after this episode.
Oh, yeah, not after this episode. Also, didn't they fire her? Why was she just there this episode? That doesn't matter.
Yeah,
I don't
whatever.
Care.
So, Grace wants to find other things to make Adrian happy. She, like, asks Adrian, like, do you really want to be this kind of person? And Adrian's just like, yeah.
That is unfortunately hot girl shit.
Grace is going to set Adrian up with a hot date from Daniel. Okay. Then Grace calls Daniel. She's mad about not knowing that Adrian called him. He's like, it's finals week. I didn't want to text it. I wanted to tell you in person. He blocked Adrian. She says we need to find Adrian a date. And he says, isn't she married? And we find out that Grace wants to set Adrian up with a guy who lives upstairs who is known by Daniel as a player.
Hot.
Yeah.
Don't hate the player, hate the mm-hmm. game.
Then we go to Madison and Lauren having a little marriage squabble. They fight about Lauren dating Jesse. And Madison...
Also, I love how Madison has just appeared as if she hasn't been gone for the last 6 episodes.
Yeah, and also I love that she's, like, mad at Lauren for getting back together with her boyfriend. And her justification for it is basically like, well, Jack and I aren't together.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to do all the senior stuff together.
Yeah, I thought we were going to flick each other's beans.
Yeah. And they're like, Madison's like, well, if I'm not dating Jack and now you're dating Jesse, like, I don't have a beard.
Yeah.
And let's be real. That beard is going both ways. Jack and Jesse.
Oh, they're fucking. Yeah. We've known this.
Amy comes up. She talks about the drama. And then she says, do you think Ricky ever looked through my phone? And Madison says, everyone does it. But Lauren and Jesse don't because they trust each other. But Lauren has looked through her brother's phone, which honestly, I don't think I would want to look through.
I would there are some things you do not want to know about your siblings.
Any of my siblings' phones. Then Madison says, the thing is, you have to be smart about it. Like, if you find something out on the phone, you have to come up with a different source than the phone itself. Adrian comes up, Madison, Lauren run away, and she says, heard about you and Ricky, so sorry. And she's like, Ricky is going to want to fuck me after he finds out that I'm dating older guys.
Yes.
And then she says something catty about Amy getting caught looking at Ricky's phone.
I'm so over this petty bullshit between these two.
Yeah. So then we go to Ruben's office where he is involved in Ethan's child pornography case.
This scene felt very yucky.
Yeah.
Also, what fucking type of law does Ruben practice?
Well, he's like a prosecutor. I don't know what's going on. He's probably doing something as a favor to Ricky, but like, that's gross.
Yeah, I think there's some favors you shouldn't take. Like, I'm sorry, but I do think there needs to be consequences for revenge porn.
Yeah.
Not necessarily jail, but, like, definite consequences. Like, it's a deeply fucked up thing to
do. Yeah, it's horrible. So,
if anyone ever did that to me, they better choose a good nude.
Yeah.
Ethan's level of dedication, or like his explanations, are so disgusting, and it's like, are we supposed to feel for this predatory kid? You know, like, are we supposed to feel?
Yeah, I don't
sympathy towards him as a character, because he keeps on being like, "Oh, she wanted me to share it. She thinks of them as art. She's not embarrassed. She's only embarrassed because her dad saw
also, it." Also, she's not a child because she's 16.
16 is very much a child.
This daughter, the daughter or the girl, her dad is very mad, and he wants Ethan to go to jail. Ethan has to step outside. They just let him step outside with no one watching him.
Yeah.
He goes outside. He sits with Margaret. They have a heart-to-heart. The dad comes out of Ruben's office really mad. And then Ethan leaves his phone on the chair when he goes back into the office. And Margaret looks at it. It is very shocked, and I think it might be because the photo was there.
Do we think it's his background?
I don't know. I don't want to know.
I don't know. I didn't quite get why she's supposed to be shocked.
Yeah.
Because that's actually really fucked up of him to be actively, like, looking at the photo.
While oh, yeah. For
at the lawyers.
For sure. We go to the butcher shop. Nora and Bunny are having a conversation about looking at other people's phone, because that is the only thing they can talk about this episode. And Bunny talks about how she has full access to her daughter's phones, and
this was the most evangelical bullshit I've ever heard.
She says it's because her daughters are hot, and she doesn't really need to advertise that. So she has them in all girls' private schools, and will until they get PhDs. And Nora says, oh, honey, they're going to turn out gay.
So funny and true. Yeah. Education turns women gay.
Absolutely. But Bunny's like, not that I would mind. I actually would prefer that. Less chance of a girl getting them pregnant. Or a guy, not a girl, a guy getting them pregnant.
If they're in Catholic school, they might get immaculate concepted.
I mean, if they go to an all-girls school, they could get pregnant by a girl.
That's true.
So, but there's less chance of a guy getting them pregnant. Bunny puts her foot in her mouth a couple times during this conversation, inadvertently saying some things about Ricky to Nora.
Yeah.
Leo walks in, and Bunny right off the bat is very upset because Leo fired her. Sure.
Oh, from the office job that she didn't want.
Mm-hmm. We find out that Leo and Betty are indeed splitting up because Betty wants to go to college.
Yep.
Bunny laughs like this is the funniest thing she's ever heard. And Leo's like, I'm literally not joking. We find out Leo wants to hire Nora back in his office. This is Nora's third chance and she'll take it. Great.
Really what happened is Leo did some consulting with some lawyers and realized he could not fire her for this reason.
Right. And she's like, oh, it's totally justifiable why you fired me. And he's like, was it? Actually, can we not talk about that? Can we pretend it never happened?
Thanks. Yeah, he's like, legally, could you just not tell anyone that you had been fired for a little bit and definitely don't tell them why?
Yeah, and we'll just pay you for that part that, you know, I fired you during. Don't worry about it. We go back to the high school. Ricky and Amy meet in the hallway during class. Amy needs to go to the counselor's office. Psych. Joe Hampton got paid $20 by Ricky.
Oh, is that what he said? I didn't catch it, but I wasn't going to go back.
Yeah. Fern, leave Olive alone. Go away. So they fight with each other about Adrian's texts and emails, and Amy's like, no one emails. And he's like, well,
that was funny.
Adrian does. Also, do you remember that episode they had where they were obsessed with emailing each other?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Amy emails.
Yes. Then Ricky asked Adrian to stop texting and emailing and calling him because she's just trying to make, like, she's trying to, you know, cause a ruckus. And Ricky's like, well, if I ignore it, it'll go away. And Amy's sure. like, will it? Because currently she's trying to make you jealous. She's going to go on a date with an older guy. Or no, she's going to start dating. And Ricky's like, yeah, I know. She texted me. And Amy's like, well, it's an older guy. And Ricky is like, obviously bothered by this.
Yeah. Why do we think?
I don't know. Then Amy asks if Ricky has ever looked at her phone. And he does the same thing. He reacts. He doesn't respond. We find out that, yes, Ricky has looked at her phone, and he says, we can't trust each other, so why should we even try to be together? Yeah. Mm. I personally am a huge fan of throwing the baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah, I think instead of working on things and working through them, we should just stop trying.
For sure.
I've said that about everything.
Mm-hmm. So then we go to Daniel and Grace. They have a phone call, the logistics of that night. Basically, what it comes down to is Grace is like, invite the guy from upstairs to hang out. Adrian's going to drop me off at your house, and maybe they just so happen to meet. Great. We go to the Juergens' house. George has a bunch of ribeye steaks that Nora brought home from work. He doesn't want Amy to cry anymore. Amy changes the subject, and she's like, did you tell Mom that Nora is living here? Because it is her house. And George says, it's my house. I have it until I'm finished raising you and Ashley.
And Amy's like, bitch, what? How long, like, how are you raising either of us? I don't live here. Ashley's off God knows where. Do you even know where the bitch is?
In New York. Murdering?
Yeah. I just saw an article about her murdering a priest in a hotel room. And you're going to tell me that you're raising Ashley.
Yeah.
I think the fuck not, George. She calls him George now because she's lost all parental respect mm-hmm. for him. That's my headcanon, but it's also true in what's happening.
Yeah, but she does ask him, like, where's Ashley? And he's like, Florida. And she's like, no, but, like, what is she actually doing tonight? And he's like, oh, I don't know. She got, like, a medical assistant job. Sure.
Yeah, that's something that 16-year-olds can be is medical assistants.
Mm-hmm. Amy says that she wants to get out of the house like Ashley did. Whatever. We go to Toby and Ashley. They're doing medical research for $500 in which they are testing a depression drug. And Toby says, I'm not depressed. And Ashley says, I've been depressed before. I can be depressed for $500.
And Toby's like, you've never been depressed. You're just jaded. Yeah. Which, like, I thought this was going to introduce what was going to be my new favorite plot line, which was Ashley doing this study and all of a sudden, like, actually enjoying life and getting better.
Yeah. Nope, but they...
Wouldn't that have been, like, a fucking bonkers but such a funny storyline? I'm so sad that it didn't pan out. Yeah.
And Toby reads, like, the side effects that could happen from this medication, and they're like, nah, it's not worth it. They both leave.
Yeah, and on the way out, one of them's like, we're feeling better, to this room full of, like, clinically depressed people who are desperately hoping for a relief.
Yeah. So then we go to the Juergens' house. Nora and John and Moose come in from a walk. We find out Nora is so happy because she got her job back and she has a place to live. And, you know, like, she has...
She gets to spend time with little John. Yeah.
And she asks Amy if they could please call Ricky. And John, you know, lays it on thick and says, "Hi, Daddy." And Amy says, "No, we don't trust each other." And Nora's like, "Well, everyone deserves a second chance." And Amy's like, "Fine, you call Ricky if you want to." Ricky comes in. He was outside the whole time. He says, "I'm not playing games." John and Moose and Nora leave to go play outside. Ricky comes clean about having looked at Amy's phone before. And Amy's like, "You know you can trust me. Like, you're just using this as, like, a reason to not be with me." And she's like, "I need you to, I, like, go away. Like, you go home and figure out how we can live together and not be perfect." Which I think is kind of a good thing that came out of this episode. I think that is an important lesson to learn.
Yeah.
How to just show up in a space together. And Ricky's basically like, "No, I'm not leaving because I want steak."
That's honestly really powerful.
Yeah. Amy leaves the room. George comes in with the steaks and Ricky's like, "I'm eating and then I'll leave." And George says that the problem with Ricky and Amy is that they're not married. We find out Ricky does want to be married, just not now.
Yeah, and you know, as we found out from Adrian and Ben, being married as a teenager does solve all of your problems. Truly. Everything goes really well. You really grow as people. You definitely don't regress into a worsened state than when you began.
Right. And I think it's important to also just expound on that a little bit. But married friends with benefits is, like, kind of ideal.
That's honestly all I've ever wanted. And then a little side piece on the side.
Good for you. So we go to Shaker and Margaret. They're sitting at their kitchen table and they're discussing, I think, the possibility of Ethan moving back in with them. And Margaret says that they can say no, that she can say no. And Shaker is basically like, "Since when you can't say no?" Like, all right. And Margaret says he has to go to court and he is in juvie until then.
Yeah, he's in some deep trouble. This sexting business is serious business, but if they were adults, it wouldn't be at all. Mm-hmm. Which, like, was revenge porn just not, like, a punishable offense for people back then?
I don't think so.
That actually really sucks. Yeah. I will say I loved seeing Shaker get a little titillated by the idea. He talks to Margaret, and he's like, "Let's send each other one."
Yeah.
What kind of sex do you think Shaker and Margaret would send? This is a new segment, Sex from Shaker and Margaret. Describe what you think Shaker would do, and I'll describe what you think Margaret would do. I'm thinking something with a whip. Maybe Shaker's all tied up in, like, baling twine.
No.
In front of his dick is a hatchet. Or a pair of scissors that you could use to unwrap him. It's really artfully done. You can tell he shelled out for, like, a high-end boudoir photographer. Margaret took hers as a selfie because she didn't realize they were putting that much effort into it. You can't see any tit.
Margaret's is a mirror selfie, but her flash is on.
Yes. So there's a lens flare covering her breasts.
Okay. That was fun. Moving on.
Shaker, you can see full balls, but no cock.
I'm too tired for this.
Well, we're almost done. Let's power through.
Yeah. So... We go to Daniel's apartment. We have this weird date going on with Dante and Adrian. And basically Grace and Daniel are providing commentary while this is happening. And basically, like...
What the fuck was that? I don't know.
So...
I checked a message, and I think I didn't realize my Bluetooth speaker was still on.
Oh. So, Adrian basically tells Dante all her drama, her marriage status, how she's in love with Ricky. Grace and Daniel are just sitting at the table, And Adrienne admits that she's just here to make Ricky jealous. And she was curious to see, like, who Grace would set her up with. They flirt. And then she's like, actually, I'm not so sure if I want Ricky back anymore. And Grace says, so she would just take him from Amy just to see if she could. And Adrienne's like, can you shut the fuck up? We're trying to have a conversation here.
This is actually my ideal first date.
Yeah. Then Dante has a wild life in which he tells Adrienne he has been married 3 times and has 9 kids. Just kidding. He was trying to top her story.
That's not the only thing he's going to be topping tonight. Yeah,
moving on. He says the craziest thing he's ever done is probably get a few tattoos. Adrienne wants one, but she doesn't know where on her body she'd put it. Because that's a little bit of a confusion. He's like, oh, I can take you to my guy. And she's like, no, I don't know where I want it placed. And he's like, well, let's get out of here so I can get a better look at the canvas. Grace yells, tattoos last a lifetime. Who gives a shit? Get whatever you want on your body.
Yeah.
I have a pair of knitting needles and a ball of yarn.
I have a pair of titties on my arm.
Incredible. Grace tells Daniel basically all the drama that's happening right now. And Daniel's like, well, you can look at my phone whenever you want. And she's like, no, that's okay. And he's like, are you just saying that because you don't want me to look at your phone? And she's like, no, you can definitely look at my phone. We don't get any follow-up on that.
I hope we never do.
We go to the Juergens house. Ricky gets a call. He says it's no one. And she says, tell no one I say hi. Or he gets like a message or something. He finds out it's Ethan. Ethan has been allowed to keep his phone in juvie.
Cool.
Sure. Ricky says that this is really hard for him because he's never been trusted. And he thinks he's earned the right to be trusted. And Amy's like, well, you like told me a blatant lie. You told me that you erased the message and you never listened to it. And you saved it and you did listen to it. And he's like, you're right. And he's like, but you've lied to me before. But he says, you're the only person who trusts me, and I hated that I let you down. I felt unworthy. I was like, new worship song unlocked. I hated that I let you down.
You're the only one who trusted me. I hated that I let you down. It made me feel unworthy. Jesus, Jesus, God, you're the one who crucified so I could join you on high. Jesus, I'm such a piece of shit. I know that you've forgiven it.
That was perfect.
Hillsong hit me up. I don't care about the weird sex stuff.
Or the gay hating stuff.
Yeah, I can be straight for you, Hillsong. Yeah. I'll marry Darlene Check if that's what it takes. That's a deep cut.
Yeah, that is a deep cut. So, he said that it was comfortable to be angry and the victim. Amy gives him a hug. They apologize to each other. He gets a text. He says it's Ethan saying thank you. He hands Amy the phone. And it's some kind of nudie shot.
Nude.
And she says, is this the photo Ethan got in trouble for sending? And he says, no, it's Adrienne showing me where she's going to get a tattoo. And he's like, come on, you're going to have to get a sense of humor about this. And Amy's like, what is funny about her constantly, relentlessly trying to break us up? And he's like,
I'm on both of their sides in this conversation. I know.
And he's like, you left out nakedly.
This whole conversation I was a big fan of. It was nice to see Ricky opening up about his be vulnerable about his insecurities about the relationship, own up to some mistakes that he made. It was kind of a delayed response to what maybe should have been a conversation earlier. But I think the fact that he's able to admit how he was feeling to Amy bodes well for them in the future. And the fact that he can admit that, like, it wasn't right for him to feel that way necessarily. Also, I do think we're going to need to learn to have a sense of humor about Adrienne is kind of a good point. Because, like, if they can be secure enough in their relationship that they can kind of laugh off her attempts to get at Ricky, like, that's going to be the most successful way of thwarting her.
Yes.
If they can be a unified front, and if she can be secure enough in their relationship that she can laugh when Adrian does these piss poorly thought out ridiculous things, mm-hmm. like, that's how they win. Mm-hmm. So, overall, the only scene that needed to be in this episode to advance the plot was this one.
Except then we find out that Amy can be crazy.
Oh.
Because Ricky says he's...
I can be crazy.
...done with crazy. She's like, well...
If you're not done with crazy yet, I can be a crazy little baby.
Yep. And she's like...
You ever been choked and spit on? Sometimes at the same time?
She's like... Let's go get tattoos right now. And he's like, what would we even get? And she's like, I don't know. Like, wedding bands?
He's like, I want to be like Corey and John from Skillet. I want to have tattooed wedding bands.
Yeah. And he's like, you're going to have to work on crazy. They walk off to her childhood bedroom to fuck in it.
She's like, I've been warming up my strap for you if you want crazy. I just wrapped it in a warm washcloth. It'll be nice and heated.
Horrible.
I can control it on an app with my phone.
Yeah, that's it. This episode was so unnecessary.
This was the most nothing this show has ever been. We introduce an entirely new character who has little to no relevance to the plot, but he's the whole plot of this episode, and the rest of the episode is every character discussing whether or not they look at each other's phones.
Yeah. We didn't even get... We didn't even get to see anybody texting each other, like when Jack and Grace...
I can't believe, like, this was beyond filler. This was nothing. This was absolutely nothing. This was a void of an episode. Yeah. This was a black hole. Oh, Lord in heaven, deliver me.
Anyway, my name's Aaron.
My name's Jesse.
And this is In Secret Life of Two Gay American Teenagers. You can follow us on Instagram, Patreon, Twitter, and TikTok at Your Two Gay Friends. You can follow Jesse on Twitter at GoJesse2K20. You can follow me on Instagram at NoMoneyNoProspects. You can email us at slwithjesseandaaron@gmail.com. You can leave us a voice message on Anchor. And you can leave us a rating and review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, or you can rate us on Spotify. That's it.
That is it.
So, fun.
I've spent 2.5 hours thinking about this episode that I'll never get back.
Yeah.
Do you ever stop and think while we're watching these nothing episodes that, like, this is the only life we'll ever get? And this is how we're spending it?
Nope. I do think when I started watching this show, my lifespan did decrease. Like, I think, you know, those, like, what are they called? Like, the actuary, you know?
I know that actuaries exist. I don't know what they
basically
do.
They like look at a bunch of numbers and they like decide things for insurance based on like how likely you are. So they look at a bunch of information and they're like, well, we're not going to give you life insurance because you're likely to die for this. And it's just like a bunch of like sheets and tables and things. But I think...
Okay, so I think we've had a little miscommunication. I didn't know what it was, but I also did not want to know.
Oh, okay, okay. But I'm just saying, I think... If you start watching Secret Life of the American Teenager, you automatically get put on a list that's like, do not offer these people life insurance because like their rate
of death during the period when they're watching that show is higher.
Yeah.
So, on that happy note, I hope everyone has a great day, and I hope to knock this ear infection out of the park and start feeling better.
And I hope to be engaged by the next time you hear from me.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody. We've got to go. Gotta leave it all behind, 'cause we're so gay. Yeah. Mama! Ooh. I don't wanna die. I sometimes wish that I was heterosexual. My name's Pete Buttigieg, and nothing really matters.